After a long investigation, after so many people have been so badly hurt, after not looking at the other side, where a lot of bad things happened, a lot of horrible things happened, a lot of very bad things happened for our country, it was just announced there was no collusion with Russia. There was no obstruction and none whatsoever. It was a complete and total exoneration. It's a shame that our country had to go through this. To be honest, it's a shame that your president has had to go through this before I even got elected. It began. And it began illegally. And hopefully somebody's going to look at the other side. This was an illegal takedown that failed. And hopefully somebody's going to be looking at the other side. So it's complete exoneration, no collusion, no obstruction.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Donald Trump is, as of now, not completely exonerated. Settle down, Mr. President. But according to the summation from the Attorney General, the Bob Mueller report, he is not involved, or was not involved in any collusion. Pat Brady joins us now. As a prosecutor, it was not involved in any collusion, and there was nothing chargeable in the area of obstruction. Mueller's important note was not guilty or not charged. Pat, you tell me about the wording here, but not guilty of anything, but not innocent either. What was the better verbiage on that?
Yeah, on the first part, on the conspiracy or collusion, as the president calls it, they just found there was no evidence of conspiracy with either Trump, the campaign, or anybody else in the United States, which is actually good news because they did charge Russians with trying to hack into our election. So there were actual charges against people that did it. So it was good that when offered the opportunity to do it, the Trump campaign and or anybody else didn't bite. So the interesting thing about the first point on the collusion or the conspiracy, they actually went a step further in saying that there was absolutely no evidence, which they typically don't do. So on point one, I agree with the president on the conspiracy. But on point two, on the obstruction, it's a completely different story.
All right, so let me stop you for a second before we get too far. The obvious question for anybody that has been involved in this, and that's most of America, obviously, is how is there all of these points of contact between people involved in the Trump campaign with Russian operatives that have been charged, and that's not collusion or conspiracy?
Well, here's the deal. Conspiracy is this, and just not to get too into the legal weeds, it's an agreement to commit between two people to commit an unlawful act. In this case, it would be a conspiracy to defraud the United States government by trying to rig the election. It's a pretty high bar to prove conspiracy. It's a specific intent crime. But in this case, they actually went further and said there's no evidence whatsoever. That's not the right wording. But so he is clear on them. These guys may have had conversations, and the Russians may have tried, and Donald Trump Jr. had the meeting in the 17 contacts. But they never reached the level of an agreement to commit an unlawful act, and that's pretty clearly what this summary of the report says.
But what we're talking about here, and I started the show with this today, is the irony that the man who follows the letter of the law, Bob Mueller, has done his job and legally found no reason to charge the president of the United States, which will grant you is good news. But anybody who has been following this, all of America, is very confused this morning. And by the way, including those who have allegedly won, because this isn't a win-lose thing. This is a determination of whether or not the president's a criminal. So the only summation we can make here is he surrounded himself with idiots, and he surrounded himself with bad hires, your Manafort's, your attorney, your all of these people that have been arrested, and Roger Stone's and those people. That's not a crime that's going to cause him to legally go to jail. Politically, is he out of the woods?
Well, politically, at least insofar as the impeachment, I think this report gave the Democrats some breathing room. I think that the far left of the Democratic Party wanted to go ahead with impeachment against the president, and I've said this all along. I think even Eric would agree. Impeachment's bad politics, so I think the monkey's off the back, off Speaker Pelosi's back. She doesn't have to push this as hard, because the one thing I thought that would trigger impeachment would be evidence of a conspiracy to with the Russians to interfere with our election. So politically, the impeachment's off his back for a while, but I'm not sure how much this does to him politically once the full report comes out, which I think it will.
So this is a legal document, which is what it was supposed to be, and this legally puts Trump in a position of not being charged. What about the Southern District of New York and the payments to the porn star and that stuff?
Well, let me take a step back, because I do want to talk about, and I'll answer that, but I want to talk about the obstruction. The obstruction of justice charge, the second component of this letter that was issued yesterday, they said they found evidence on both sides, and what Bob Mueller did is he deferred his decision whether or not to prosecute the president to the new Attorney General, Bill Barr, and he and Rosenstein decided not to prosecute the president. They made a decision that the case was not prosecutable, but it says specifically in the letter it did not exonerate him. And just by way of background, what the prosecutor's perspective is, in the U.S. Attorney's manual, he said you can't charge somebody unless you're reasonably sure you can get a conviction. So that's a much closer case. Although he's been not going to be charged, when the source documents and the evidence come out to support what Bob Mueller did, I think that's going to be damaging. To your question on the Southern District of New York, there's a whole bunch of other cases relating to the Trump Foundation, the Trump businesses, the Trump kids that are under investigation now by the Southern District of New York, which I've always said and always thought are more problematic to the Trump empire than what Bob Mueller was doing. Bob Mueller had a very specific mandate just to investigate the conspiracy that the Russians were trying to hack into our elections. The Southern District of New York has a much broader mandate, and the Southern District of New York is probably the most aggressive and competent office in the United States. So down the road, I think that's the Trump organization's bigger problem.
So Steve and Pat, when you say the prosecuting, they chose not to prosecute because they don't guarantee a win, is that common? Is that always how that works?
Yeah, it is. You are. The word is, I think it's reasonable. It's reasonable that you're, I'm not sure what the wording is, but you have to, they have a very high conviction rate because they don't bring cases unless you can get a conviction. I was turned down many times when I was a prosecutor in these kind of cases because we didn't have the evidence. Now, take that standard right there and then add to the fact you have the president of the United States. So a guy like Mueller and a guy like Barr, I think, are patriots, have to consider what this does to the country, too, in making their charging decision. I guess the next point, too, when you've got the president of the United States sitting in the defendant chair, that's a pretty high burden to convict him. It's much harder to convict somebody like the president or a celebrity or somebody. It just is harder to do. And the third thing that he clearly said was not part of his decision is it's still questionable whether or not the sitting president of the United States can be indicted.
Yeah, but again, all of this nuance and all of this legalese has been described in a way that made the decision of the weekend pretty significantly surprising. Now, Mueller seemed to have punted this to his boss. His boss is the Attorney General. Wasn't the point of Mueller's investigation to make a determination beyond maybe he is, maybe he isn't?
Yeah, I've heard both sides of that argument, and I'm not sure if I agree. I think what Mueller did is he got to a point where, you know, this is a close call. This is a decision that could probably throw the country into a constitutional crisis. It's probably a better thing to have the sitting attorney general make that decision than a special prosecutor. That's just my reading the tea leaves. I don't know what happened in making that decision, but I have full faith in what Bob Mueller did, and they did a very thorough investigation, for which the country should be thanking him and not trashing him as the president's done for the last 2 years.
Well, and the trashing continues, which is a stupid mistake, by the way, as well. But this is not a complete exoneration. This is good news for America that the president did not collude with the Russians. So let me put your political hat back on for a second. What do we do about the fact that Russia absolutely hacked our elections beyond the sanctions that have been applied? What do we do?
I don't know what the exact answer is, but that was my question yesterday. As I read all this and watched, I go, okay, President, you're exonerated. What are you going to do with the Russians? They tried to hack into our election. That's a very serious, that's almost a warlike event. I have heard nothing from him or anybody around him or anybody from Fox or those other networks that went nuts yesterday saying, what are we going to do with the Russians? They're all going after Bob Mueller and other people that were just doing their job. So this is the big question, but it doesn't seem to have been raised so far in this debate. But I don't know what they're going to do with them. They need to do something.
Yeah, and let's be clear on something. It's not a win. It's not a loss. It's a decision that was made based on legal facts by a guy that had the qualifications to do it. You don't wake up this morning and go, well, this is fantastic. the president can't be charged, even though he's been hanging around with some complete sleazeballs. He brought criminals into the federal government, and he may or may not be guilty of more crimes. That's far from a win. Be happy that he didn't collude with the Russians, but there's a lot of questions that need to be answered. I don't care about the Democrats. I don't care about the Republicans. I care about whether the president and the people around him are going to be able to be functional for the next year and a half as we get into the campaign for 2020, because he's not going anywhere.
Yeah, I agree. And the bigger, even that statement you just played on the lead-in, half of what he said was just nonsense and a lie, but he continues to do it. I don't get why he feels he needs to do that. He could have claimed victory and walked on the plane, but he had to take it one step further and throw three or four lies in there. But again, to me, this is almost like a divorce. Everybody in the Congress, everybody's fighting back and forth with one another. Let's focus on the Russians. They tried to hack into our elections. These people are our enemies.
And they're going to
realize that. Yeah, they've been doing it for years, but this time they got caught. They've actually been, these companies that were charged were tied directly to Putin. And the next time the president stands next to Putin at a press conference like he did 4 or 5 months ago, he needs to point that out. This is bad stuff, and he's doing this to our country. To me, that should be the focus, is the bad actions of the Russian government and Putin.
So, for people, look, one-third of the country supports Trump no matter what he says. Two-thirds of the country don't. For the two-thirds of the country that don't, what do you say to them this morning to make them feel like America's functioning on all the levels it should, and this is the results we need to accept?
I think that they have their choice at the ballot box here in 587 days or whatever it is, and if you don't like the president, like, I'm not voting for Donald Trump. I'll tell you right now, I'll never vote for Donald Trump. But the reality is, this on the conspiracy thing, he's been exonerated, beyond exonerated. They made it clear that it didn't, his campaign, he, anybody around him wasn't involved in it. We got to forget that. Forget the impeachment stuff. Let's start focusing on the issues that matter. We have a lot of issues we need to deal with, and particularly on what the Russians did. But you got to put it, everybody's got to kind of put it away, because we've had the debate. The debate is over. Let's move on to the next phase. You don't have to vote for him. I'm not voting for him. A lot of people aren't voting for him, but you got to give it up, and it's time to move on both sides.
But he's the president, but it's not wrong to demand that he be the president and protect us against one of our, if not our primary enemy, one of our enemies, who is actively interested in hurting us on every level and infiltrating and destroying the next election to whatever means they need. It's not wrong to ask him to do that. He's the president of the United States.
No, it's not just not wrong. It's your obligation. I mean, as a citizen, that's why we have free speech. You're supposed to speak up and say, hey, what's going on? But that doesn't mean that everybody on the other side of the aisle or doesn't agree with you is your enemy. But we all should be focused on what's good for the country. And I hope, I don't think this will happen, but I would hope this is kind of a turning point. Let's move on and start focusing on important things. But I don't think the president's going to give it up. This is going to be on the campaign for the next 18, 20 months, whatever it is. He's going to talk about how he was a victim. But the reality is, as you've described, he surrounded himself with a bunch of idiots who didn't know what was going on. Now he's commander-in-chief. He kept a lot of those people around. He creates a lot of his own problems. Had he not fired Comey in the way he did, there would be no Bob Mueller. So when he says unfairness, illegally started, it's all a bunch of nonsense. This is 100% his own doing, because he puts incompetent people around him. He, to a certain extent, he's very incompetent himself in understanding the institutions of our government. A lot of this, or most of this, is all his own creation.
All right, last question as we make an attempt to go forward here. What we have is Attorney General Barr's summation of a report we haven't seen all of. Will we see this report? Will it be released to America, the Starr report, the 9/11 report? Will that be released at some point, and should it be?
I think it will be, but there's a couple things. There's national security information in there probably won't be released. But there's another thing, and again, not to get too much into the legal weeds, it's called Rule 6E. If you receive information pursuant to a grand jury subpoena, you can't disclose that information. The prosecutor can't, unless you go to a judge and ask for that information to be released. So there's going to be some process here to get that released. I suspect most of the 6E will be released. But remember, the reason you don't release grand jury information, why the situation is kind of unique, the function of a private or the secret grand jury is to protect innocent people. There is information in this report, I'm sure, that's very damaging to some very innocent people, and that's the consideration they're going to have to go through. I kind of doubt that Congress will do that rationally, but there is a court in the middle that will protect people from being wrongly accused or put in a bad light.
It's Pat Brady. You'll join us later this week.
Absolutely. Thanks, you guys.
Thanks. There you go. That's the legal explanation. More to say about it coming up.
If anyone thinks that the Mueller report being concluded is the end of the Democrats' attempt to take down President Trump, they haven't been paying attention the last 2 years. You know, it was striking as I listened to your interview with Congressman Nadler that he was immediately pivoting away. Okay, fine. You know, yesterday, the Mueller report was the end all and be all. It was going to be the salvation for the Democrats and destroy President Trump. Now you can already see the Democrats pivoting away, saying, okay, well, we need to do other investigations. It's got to be someone else. It's got to be the Southern District of New York. It's got to be the New York Attorney General. It's got to be Congress.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
That's the delightful and charming Ted Cruz. Losing it a little bit last night. He couldn't wait to get to a microphone and talk to everybody. Ryan Nobles joins us now from CNN. Ryan, this is good news for America. The President of the United States did not collude with the Russians. It doesn't change the fact that the Russians hacked our election. This was never a question about the legitimacy of the election, because nobody can determine whether or not that hacking specifically allowed Donald Trump to win and Hillary Clinton to lose. This was not an attack on Donald Trump personally. This was a legitimate criminal investigation by an incredibly highly regarded man, an American hero and a patriot. And he should be treated as the same, regardless how you feel about the outcome.
I'm so glad you started with that, Steve, because I think the thing that frustrated me the most over the weekend, watching the way that politicians from both sides of the aisle were responding to this report, it seemed to me like we were losing the forest for the trees here. I mean, you and I have talked for the entire 2 years of this investigation about how there was as just a good a chance that the Mueller report was going to clear the president of any connection to Russian meddling in the election as there was that it was going to throw the book at him. And what we were hoping to find, what we were hoping to learn, is some sort of definitive and clear picture of exactly just what responsibility the president had as it related to that specific thread. And of course, we need to see the full report. I think everybody agrees that we need to see the full report. But if you just set aside the name Donald Trump and you just describe the office of President of the United States, and if you were to wake up one morning and someone were to tell you that, yes, your President of the United States was not colluding with a foreign government to win an election, that's really good news. That's good news for America. That's good news for all of us as constituents. And it resumes a level of healthy of trust and confidence that we can have in our democratic process. And now I think we can set this issue aside and then really talk about policy and substantive issues and decide whether or not Donald Trump deserves another 4 years in office. So, you know, I think there's still going to be a lot of talk about obstruction of justice. I do, Ted Cruz maybe went a little too far in that bite you played coming into us, but I do think that there is a real possibility that Democrats will overplay their hand here and continue to push the conspiracy angle on all of this, where really perhaps their best move is to now just talk about the issues at hand and let the American people decide whether or not they want Donald Trump or they want somebody else.
I agree with you in principle. However, there is a congressional oversight piece to this, and if the Republicans were in charge and Barack Obama or a Democrat was in the White House in these circumstances, they would do the same thing. So if they don't do their investigations, and the degree of overplay could be argued, but if they don't do them, are they doing their job?
Well, that's a great point, and I do think that there's a fine line that they're going to have to walk here. You know, there's a big difference between just kind of the way the Republicans treated Hillary Clinton, and it was, attack every single narrow thread related to anything she could have been involved in with the hope of finding something, versus if you've got something substantive that you want to look into, then it's worth looking into. And I do think that's why it is so important for as much of this report as possible to become public, because, I'm a skeptic of all sides. As much as I don't trust William Barr's assessment of the Mueller report without seeing it myself, I also don't trust Adam Schiff's assessment of the Mueller report without seeing it myself. I think that we need to see as much of this as we can. I'm not among the people that believe that, you know, all 2,000 pages of documents and subpoenas and everything that Mueller uncovered should be brought out in public. I do believe that there's a reason that some of that stuff is kept behind closed doors, the grand jury proceedings in particular. But I do think the kind of broad, conclusions that he drew, that Mueller, from Mueller's voice, not through William Barr's voice or not through Adam Schiff reading it and telling us. I think the American people deserve the right to see that. And then we go from there. But, you know, Steve, it's just, you know, it takes me back to the Bill Clinton impeachment proceedings where, the, you know, there was no doubt that Bill Clinton made a mistake. And there was no doubt that the Republicans had kind of a something that they could jump on to try and exploit. But they overplayed their hand. And again, you know, this isn't I think with the Mueller report's issuance, we've now left a legal discussion, and it is all a political discussion. It's all been a political discussion to a certain extent, but this is really now a political conversation. And with political conversations, there's a very delicate line that you've got to walk if you want to be successful.
Yeah, and I got to say, I don't buy into the fact that, the statement that a lot of people said over the weekend as well, that America doesn't care about this. America wasn't connected to this. This is all people were talking about when they got the news this weekend. They may not be connected on the same issue that you are or that I might be, but people do care about this. You've got little kids. I've got grown kids. What do you say to your kids? They're inheriting this country. What do you say to your kids when they go, wait? You mean he didn't do anything wrong? What's the answer?
It's a great point, Steve. And I, you know, there'll be history books written on the exact activities of Donald Trump prior to becoming president, during his time as president, and then what happens afterwards. And I don't know if we'll ever get the definitive answers to all of that. But to your broader point about whether or not people are talking about this and how much they care about it, I do think people care about it. I do think people want definitive answers. But from my time on the campaign trail, it's not the overwhelming point of conversation. You know, I've covered Bernie Sanders closely, obviously, but I've covered a number of the other candidates. Few of these 2020 candidates are bringing up the Mueller report at length during their conversations with voters. You know, they do attack Donald Trump. They attack him more on a personal and policy basis. I do wonder how much this is a calculation in the average voter's minds. I don't think that Robert Mueller's issuance of this report is going to satisfy the concerns of people who think that Donald Trump is corrupt. I think that they're always going to think that. And I also think that if he had come out with something that said that Donald Trump did do something wrong, that his most hardcore supporters would have been convinced otherwise. So I think that this is almost kind of baked into people's perceptions already.
Yep.
And now we move on. Now I think it now becomes about the issues, hopefully. and then that's what's going to decide whether or not he wins and loses this next election.
Yeah, and whether or not he ought to be in the White House as the president beyond these next 2 years. And listen, I'll be the first to admit, I didn't think he'd last a year. I didn't think he'd last 2 years. But that's based on his behavior, the way he has treated the job and acted, the things he says, the things he tweets. It's not cute. It's not presidential. He's not my guy, but he is the president of the United States, and he did not collude with Russians. That was the primary question. We believe it's been answered. There may be a couple of surprises in the report, but anybody that wakes up this morning and is waiting for something that wasn't stated by Barr or released so far, there's no giant surprise coming, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, and the other thing, too, I think we should point out, Steve, is that I think the reaction to this report is really indicative of the really smart communication strategy that the White House had. And I do think that it's President Trump that led this charge, probably against some of the advice of his advisors. And that was to narrow the scope of people's interest in this to just collusion. You know, he was able to crystallize that as the point of contention, and probably because he knew deep down that he didn't collude personally.
Right.
That he, you know, that,
right.
that
and how weird is that? The one thing he was telling the truth about was that.
Exactly. And so he knew, he could continue to beat his chest on that point, ignore the obstruction of justice issues, ignore perhaps the corrupt business practices, ignore all these other things that will probably still be investigated on some level, and make the only thing that people cared about collusion. And then when this report comes out and he gets that line that specifically says he didn't collude, then he can declare victory. And then he can even take it a step further and say that he's been exonerated of all potential charges against him, which isn't actually true. So, you know, this was a winning communication strategy for Donald Trump. This is what he does better than anything else. And I think you see it starting to bear fruit.
Yeah, and the problem is politically is one-third of the country believes anything he says. Two-thirds of the country thinks he shouldn't be there. The people in the middle who may tend to waver back and forth a little bit, he could win them over right now. He could win over a good chunk of them right now, at least, by taking a completely different tact and not going on the attack, not claiming he was the victim here, and moving on and being the president. But I don't see that happening.
Well, I mean, that's always, you know, every time we've been waiting for the Trump pivot since he started running for president, and I think you're so right about that. That middle third of the country, and within that middle third, there's about half of those people that actually like some of his policies, that, you know, are immigration hawks, that do like what he did with taxes. They like the judges that he appointed. They probably don't like him personally. They don't like his tactics. They don't like his persona in general, but they kind of like the presidency in totality. So now they don't have to worry about collusion anymore. What does he do now over the next 18 months to grab that section of the country that is willing to support him on a policy level but is uncomfortable with him personally, to convince them that he deserves another 4 years in office? I think that could make or break whether or not he wins re-election.
Ryan Noble, CNN, on the road with Bernie still this week?
Actually, I'm headed to Capitol Hill right now to see how Capitol Hill is going to respond to all this investigation. I think Bernie might roll out a new version of Medicare for All in the very near future, which will become a big talking point. So that's the next big thing with his campaign that we're focused on.
All right. Plenty to talk about, obviously, as we move on. Thank you, Ryan Nobles.
All right. Have a great one, guys.
That's Ryan Nobles from CNN, our pal who joins us weekly to talk about this stuff. And he's nothing but great.